When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's White Boy Chris. If the Pat Downs ever made you laugh, then join our Patreon and support us. Get bonus content, a t-shirt, or an autographed copy of Rabbit, Miss Pat's autobiography. Visit MissPatComedy.com for the link to the Patreon, and while you're there, join our Facebook group.
Welcome to another episode of the Pat Down. I'm here with Chris and Dion and his shitty cat crawling in the fucking blurry shit in the back today. And we're talking about... What we're talking about?
Talking about
duds, studs, and most of
Young Dolph, your new house, what you're decorating for Christmas.
Well, y'all gotta join me, crack baby. It's gonna be a fucking glorious Christmas next year. Stay tuned after this fucking song and hear all about Chris, how he just got his cat uncircumcised.
You better get up, get out, and tune into this podcast. This Pat spit the truth, spit the real fact. Nothing but the ugly, classy at the same time. Pat got the flavor, these are not your same lines. It's the politics, she been on the real grind. It could be pretty, but ugly at the same time. Just tune in, put your lock on the spin down. Ain't no need for the wait and turn it up now. What you talk about? It's real though. And cut the game, you get no play like Nintendo. You waste the time, turn it up, nothing but the ugly. Straight off the top, everything she say, you know it's funny. Full blast, this a taste of the future. Listen on your iPhone, on your desktop computer. Share it, tweet it, ain't no way to beat it. Nothing but the ugly, turn it up and go and repeat it.
Good morning.
Good morning, what are you doing tonight?
I'm going to the Soul Train Music Awards.
Oh, that's cool. Where are you at? LA, New York?
I'm in New York. It's colder than motherfucking rabbit dick up here.
I didn't realize they had cold dicks.
That's why you don't see them sticking out. They can freeze on.
Got a nice little bunny pocket.
I went to a play in New York called Chicken and Biscuit. It was so good, Dion. It was all about the black household of Christian. That shit had me cracking the fuck up. And then I was so tired because it was a 2-hour play. I was so tired. Finally, I just fell a fucking asleep. And no lie, I woke up and this old white man and this old black man was fighting.
What were they arguing about?
So y'all gonna think I'm lying. The black man got up and walked by the white man, but he turned his ass toward the white man, and the white man said, "Don't you stick your motherfucking ass in my face." And then the black man turned around and said, "I'm a Vietnam War veteran. I kill you, you motherfucker."
What
mind
the?
You, this is a Christian black place.
Sounds about right, man.
These two old motherfuckers shoving each other. Now one of them ain't got no balance. So I yell out, "Set your old ass down."
Did they? Did that work?
No, it didn't work. It's New York.
They both turned on you.
I wasn't nowhere near him. I was on the other side of the room. So as she said, "I know good and well you and Jay Holiday." I said, "I sure did." But the people in the play never stopped acting.
This was going on during the play?
Oh, and then after the play was over, they called them down, right? They got to fight again.
So it was the white guy was getting up to leave, and the black guy
getting up to leave, and he turned his ass toward the white man, and the white man said, "Don't you put your motherfucking ass in my face." And the black man turned around and said, "I'm a Vietnam War veteran. I'll kill your ass." Both of them about 85 years old.
Right. Both of them, no prostate. Shit. That prostate's got them peeing every hour and a half. Like, have a little respect, sir.
No, both of them. Both of them probably hit each other and fell asleep and not from a knockout.
I'll be honest, though. I've been to, before the pandemic, like plays or comedy shows or whatever, and people treat it like it's a sporting event. You know, because at the NFL game, you can get up and go whenever, wherever you want. But, like, if you're at a play, sit down.
Piss before you get there. Or if you're old, you know, you got a bladder problem, sit, buy your ticket up there close to the top.
Yeah.
They was damn near on the float. And so the white man done took off his shirt after the show, right? They done called the police because they won't let it go. He done took off his, he had on like four layers of shirts. So I guess he said, well, I'm not going to fight in my good shirt, my good sweater. I'm going to fight in my t-shirt. So he done took his shirt off down to his t-shirt. And I told him, I said, y'all fuck with this white man when Kyle Ripley done got out. That done gave every white person in the world the right to kill. Y'all been leave that old white man alone? Y'all been leave him alone? His white privilege is on 100 today.
Did he have an AR-15 in his pants or on, under the third shirt?
But I don't know what the fuck he had, but his white privilege was on 99 last night.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, did you see how close did the guy's ass get to his face, though?
No, it was dark in there. All I heard was, get your ass out of my face. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I woke up to that shit. Then they pushing each other and shit. And, you know, as they push each other, people got to catch both of them because now one of them ain't got no balance.
Were they original? The original, what's that robot fighting game?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Yeah,
original Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
For the elderly.
Yeah, right. For the 40s.
Oh, it was so funny. They had to be about 70 or 80 years old. But that white man was not a, he was a bowdy nigga. He was not backing down. And neither was that old man. That old man was like, if they hold me up, nigga, I'll whoop your ass.
Was the place sold out?
Pretty much. He was packed in that motherfucker. But it was a it was packed. And black folks do not know how to act. So it's a play about a black funeral. And, you know, you always got to talk about how black America don't accept gay people in their family. So that's pretty much what the play was about. But it was so fucking funny and good. And it was a lot of, like, mixed couples there, black and white, but they were gay. So I kind of figured out, I said, well, this is what this play is about. You know, about being gay in the black household. Man, black folks don't know how to act. They was yelling out, say that shit. I'm like, this is a Christian play. And what you say it again. I say, black folks don't give a fuck.
What, they want a DVR at the play? Rewind that.
I didn't hear you. I had an old black man ass in my face. Play that again.
Like, say it. And I don't know what this gay symbol is right here. Well, baby, it was one white dude in the whole play. He was going to black guy. And he did this right here and went down to the ground. They fucking lost it. So I said, Ashley, is that a symbol of something y'all do? Well, why everybody standing up? Why everybody going crazy over that shit? I didn't understand.
Did you? What was
he just threw his hands and just went to the ground like that. And they fucking lost it.
He fainted?
No, he was acting. He was like.
No, I'm saying, but.
Something like.
Yeah, so like fake fainted.
It's like a gay sip. Fake fainted, I guess. I don't know, but they went crazy for it.
What did Ashley say? Is that like a thing?
She didn't say, she was just laughing. Because, you know, I don't know. And because I dozed off. I was tired. I flew in, I did a photo shoot, and then I fucking ended up going to this play. And so Jordan was like, come go to play with me, Broadway. I said, Broadway? Ain't never been to Broadway. So I go up there and I go to the shit and it's fucking honey. Well, I put three tickets, I paid $550.
Whoa.
I said, this shit better be good. It was really good. If y'all in the New York area, go see that Chicken and Biscuit play. It had me cracking the fuck
up. The parts you saw were really good. You fell asleep.
Right. Could have been horrible in the middle there for an hour and a half.
No, I could hear people still laughing, but I was so tired. And with that fight woke me back up. And I still had another 45 minutes to go after that fight. It was good. I would like to see it again, but I ain't got no more money.
So there was no intermission. It was all the way through.
It was all the way through for 2 hours. But it kept me interested for 2 hours. But it definitely taught. I said, Jordan, I see why you like this play. Because it looked like you could have. Look, like Jordan could have wrote that play, but better. But it was good. But it was. Y'all
did it have any? Did it have any famous actors in it? Anybody we would know?
No, the only person that I knew in that play was the girl from who tried out for the role Denise on my show.
Hmm.
She was on there. That's why we went to support her. because she's a good friend of Jordan. She was in Jordan play. So
you guys get to go backstage at all?
No, that when after a play, most of all the actors come out. So we all went to dinner last night at STK or some shit. It was really fucking good. Me and my PR person, like 12 of us. And I didn't get my old ass in until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Nigga, that is so past my panty line of time. I was so fucking tired. You know you tired when you only wash the makeup off your face. All you do is, I can't sleep in a bra. I said, if I can get this bra for me in the name of Jesus. I just cut my bra off. My motherfucking titties hit the floor. And boy, we hit that bed like a kite. And I was out.
She said kite, by the way.
Yeah, we heard it that time.
Right. Just to make sure.
Say kite, you get offended. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm not offended. I'm just making sure somebody else doesn't get offended.
Who offended by kite?
No, nobody's offended by kite. So after
we've had this discussion, just keep moving on.
After like 35, I don't know what it is. Deanna and I were talking about this in Houston. It's like after 34, 35, it's like a hate crime if you're made to stay out past 11 p.m. Like there's just that can't do it. Forget it.
When I take my Netflix special, the first show was at 8 and it ran late.
Yeah.
My husband watched the first show. Nigga, I went to the Green Room sex show. He was out like he had been working all day and did not wake up. So I said, hey, it's time to go. It is. Well, he didn't even know where the fuck he was at. That's how sleepy he was.
You had an after party and it was like 1 in the morning. And I was like, I love you, but I'm going. I'm out. Everybody else went. Yeah. But I don't care. I was like, I'll be rude. I don't care.
Yeah. He can't. Because when he go on, he said, he's retiring. So I said, I just asked you to go once a month with me. He said, well, can I go to the events where you just got one show? So I think I'm trying to get him to go New Year's with me. He's like, I ain't gonna be able to sit through all them shows. Now you might want me to come to the show where about to be New Year and I nap before New Year comes.
You can't even be mad at him though. You can't even be mad
at all.
He's like, I'm going to take a nap for New Year's coming. I said, God damn, what you doing getting the rest of 2021 out of there?
I'm not going to lie. I always think the exact same thing when you guys invite me to a show like, oh, I'll come to Cincinnati. And I'm like, both shows? Or can I like, is it rude for me to leave after the first one? Because I go to bed at 9:30 every night. I
go to bed when I'm home. I go to bed about the same time, 8.
Yeah. How do you like have enough energy to do those second shows? Is it just once you're in front of the crowd, it kind of gives you energy?
Put it in your mind. You got to do what you got to do. Shit, what else am I going to do? Like I say, y'all, put a bed on stage on the second show, even though I you like go up there and say, I'm sleeping on the motherfucker. Just like, especially when they talk. I was a little bitch, this is the last show. I'm trying to go home and unstick my drawers and take my wig. I'll shut the fuck up.
That is a common occurrence during the second show where Miss Pat will say, hey, y'all, I'm tired. Shut the fuck up so I get through this shit.
Stop having fun. I'm tired.
I don't need you talking to me. I don't need you saying a motherfucking thing. Let me say this shit how I said it on the first show, but a little bit faster.
Because they're all a little drunker or you're trying to get out of there.
It's a combination of both.
Dang. Now you be tired. You be done work that first show. And I mean, if I ever buy a ticket, I would be to a first show, you know, unless I had dinner or something to go to the second show. The second show is good too, but man, you get about 95% of me on the first show. The jokes are still going to be funny, but the energy is going to be slower. Shit, I done had these titties up for 8 hours. Oh my God.
I mean, they weigh 30 pounds each, so it's no joke.
Don't tell me that I cut them off and lose 60 pounds right now. So I know somebody got their titties done right, and they was telling me that when you get your boobs done, that well, this girl had cancer, and she said they took a nip off. And so I said, well, what do he suck? She said, well, I can go get a tattoo nipple, or I can get the prosthetic nipple, but I don't want to take my nip off like no leg. So she said, Well, I said then.
Maybe
said,
spice it up, change it to
I
pink.
I think I won't take my lip off like no fucker.
But I can see him wearing it like a ring pop.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say that because, you know, she just went through Kelsey. But I'm like, well, goddamn, what does it say? She said, ain't no, they just pretty. I'm like, well, you better not never start dating a nigga and take your bra off. He's like, where your nipples at?
She got both nipples taken off?
Well, you have to sometime when you got breast cancer.
Yeah, double.
But I've known people who didn't have breast cancer, got their titties done, but their titties don't have no sensations in them. And I need sensations in my titties. Or else it ain't even gonna happen.
What? So does, like, do you get to walk into a nipple store and choose which nipple? Like, oh, I wanted a little puffy, slightly brown. Like, what does she mean? It's a pretty.
They
nipple.
Match the paint like Sherman Williams.
You're right. Yeah.
They remove the whole nipple sometimes during. I know they put it back during when you get your breast done. But sometime when you have breast cancer, they have to remove the whole thing, and you either get a prosthetic nipple. And if we're almost wrong, please feel free to send Chris or Dion an email on this subject, that's, or you get it.
That's Miss Pat at no.
Or you can get you get it tattooed. So she said she just went nippleless, and I'm like, well, wow.
Nipples.
I'm surprised they haven't started something where we could transplant. Like, if you got big nipples like Quisha, you can cut hers in half and she can get some out of the other half.
I was just saying we could start one in the back of Quisha's shop, but yeah, using her large areolas.
Quisha doesn't have big nipples. She got big areolas.
Yeah, the nipple actually is pretty small.
How the fuck y'all niggas know?
You sent me a picture of
him. We asked nicely.
I ain't never had no motherfucking picture of Quisha titty, nigga.
Okay.
And she's in Cancun right now. I've just been waiting for bikini photos. I don't know. How about you, Dion? Took all our kids.
So, what are you guys things going on in the news right now? Yeah.
Why don't we take a break and come back? We got to talk about your Christmas decorations so people quit asking us.
All right, back from the break. My Christmas decoration. Okay, guys. Y'all know I love to keep y'all involved. I hope no matter where my career goes, I always keep them crack babies involved because I really do appreciate you guys. This year, I'm not putting up a tree because I'm moving. And therefore, I don't want to put up a tree and then got to take that bitch right back down. Because if I was going to start, I was going to start in September because I'm crazy about Christmas. But I will say this. I need some crack baby help. Because next year, if all health and we're willing and we all here still together in God's grace, I pray we are, I'm doing three different things in my house. I've already started. The fuck you laughing at?
Upstairs, Hobby Lobby is just shaking because of the profit margins they're going to have with 2 years worth of Christmases built up for one day. I mean, it's going to be fantastic.
So,
hey, man, full price on none of this shit, Chris. They profit margins ain't going to increase.
Right. 1,400 crack babies across the country with coupons.
So, next year I'm doing three things. I already started it upstairs because the house I'm doing it over. I'm doing a lot of renovation to a house I bought upstairs for the girls. We do a Mickey and Minnie. Pottery Barn has it. So if you see any of that stuff at Pottery Barn that's on sale, like I've already bought the sheets and the blankets for everybody's bed. All I need is those Mickey Mouse stockings. Anything in there.
This is like, you know, in Nebraska on the local AM radio station on Saturdays, they have Tradio. Yeah, I got a 14-inch lawnmower for sale if anybody wants to contact me. I'm putting together a Mickey Mouse Christmas if anybody's at the Pottery Barn.
If anybody at the Pottery Barn after Christmas, see any of that shit on sale, hit me up. I will send you shipping. I will pay you to go get it. I promise. And I send you some Miss Pat merch or whatever else, some gift cards. Also, downstairs is Santa Black Christmas. Pottery Barn also have that. So we're doing Black Santa Christmas on the first floor. And in the basement is the Grinch. So if any of you guys see any of that stuff, let me know and I will pay you for it. And I'll truly appreciate it. Now, I tell you what I've been doing. So, you know, I bought a home. We're moving back.
Other side of Plainfield or?
No, I'm moving back to Georgia.
Boo!
I still love you. You're gonna be there. So I'm moving back to Georgia, and I'm everybody know how much I like to buy thrifty shit. So it's this place I discovered on Cleveland Avenue in Atlanta called Loss, LOS. Oh my motherfucking God. So it's everything that you bring back from stores and then they sell it. All of these little outlets done popped up around everywhere. We got a few in Indy too. Chris and Dion, you have to go in this place. You don't know what the fuck is in the box. Junebug call it an upgraded Goodwill. I mean, they got broken cabinets. You might pull some out. A snake might bite you. A rat might run by your feet. It is shit every fucking where.
It looks like at the end of the Indiana Jones movie when they like wheel it in and there's just like boxes on boxes and stacked up high. I saw a picture that you posted. It's just like boxes everywhere, cardboard boxes. You gotta tear it apart at all.
You don't know what's in the box. So Jumba was standing there with me the other day, and I'm like, look, this box feel heavy, let's open it. And so he's like, Mom, I said, shut the fuck up, let's open this goddamn box. I open the box and I see a granite countertop for a bathroom. I was like, oh, this is a brand new, it ain't even broke up. Most of the shit come in broke, beat up. It's ready for DIY people. Nigga, I got looking in that box. It's a whole motherfucking vanity. A whole vanity. Oh, let me show it to y'all. I paid $40 for it. I said, nigga, we done hit a lick.
Next thing you know, Miss Pat gonna be on Storage Wars talking about.
Yep.
I fucking let me tell y'all something. Look at this vanity I got.
$40, that's amazing. Is that a marble or a granite countertop to it?
It's a granite countertop. It was just thrown over in the corner, and I was like, this box is heavy.
That looks really good.
I paid $40 for it.
How is Los making money off of that if it's $40? Because that looks like an $800 item.
All you got to do is just take a picture of the box and how much. So I had bought a bunch of stuff. So I had bought this gas line. They had said, let me show you what else I bought.
A gas line.
So I bought, what the fuck are you talking?
She's like,
look at all my towel. You can't see. Look at all that towel I bought.
Wow.
Motherfucking box. I could barely roll my car up out of there.
Show it again.
I was there all day the other day. Look at this fucking headboard. I paid $60 for the headboard.
Do you have a box truck
my
yet?
Motherfucking God. Huh?
Do you have a box truck yet?
$20 for that.
Wow.
I bought so much shit that, oh my God, every day I'm at this store digging in this motherfucker.
Robin Leach is rolling over in his grave right now.
Look what I bought.
Lifestyles of the Famous and Scroungers.
I am the Scroungers, baby. Oh my God. When I tell you, I bought this sofa for Jumbo Rome.
How much?
$100. It was brand new in the box. I said, Jumbo, something in that big old box. Go look in that box. He was like, how will I shut the fuck up before I stab you with this box cover? So we opened the box and it was, and then so you take it home. If it's all not there, you can take it back. I said, put it up, make sure all the pieces are put it up, bang. It's on Amazon for $300.
That's crazy.
It was brand new in the box.
Where are they getting all this furniture from? That's, it feels like they just raided drug dealers' houses and boxed up their shit.
They went out to the port of Charleston and stole a couple shipping containers that were trapped in the ocean.
No, they just discounted. Like everybody, like once something on sale or once you return something, it's a bunch of Home Depot. No, it's from everywhere. I got this one out there too.
How much for that one?
That's at another store, huh?
How much?
Oh, I bought this, but it's a floating count. It was like $2,000 because there wasn't nothing wrong with that motherfucker. And I don't know if y'all noticed, these spiders are at my house.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you live out in the country. You're going to get them. Them and them rattlesnakes.
Them motherfuckers so big that they had on fucking Air Jordan shoes.
Did they get those from stolengoodstore.com, too?
Yeah, they probably got them.
I got this from out there, too.
What is that?
I can't tell what that is.
That's a mirror. It was two of them just sitting on the floor. I said, I take it. So
it's just I can't imagine what those owners think. They just every other. How many times a week do you go in there?
Miss Pat is a collector of misfit items, whether it's crack babies or furniture,
podcast co-hosts. Like, you go in there every day, they're like, she's back. Yeah, but she's paying for my kid's college. Shut up.
Nobody knows who I am. Nobody's recognized me yet. Because I got on a Falcon hat, and I got it pulled down, and I have on no bra. So they just think I'm this weird bitch you coming at every day.
The hoarder's back.
Yes. But watch when you see what I do with this shit. It's going to be fucking beautiful.
Yeah, the house that you have now that you're abandoning, sadly, is beautiful. It's like it's really put together. Listen, I'm bitter. It's okay.
I think it's hit Chris that you actually leave. I think he's come to terms with it.
I don't know why anybody would choose anything other than Plainfield to live. My hometown's great. It's sad.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah, I got the parlor P as you pull in that motherfucker.
Go look up the town logo for the town of Plainfield. It looks just like parlor. Dion's right. Are you doing Thanksgiving and Christmas at the house you're in now? Are you frantically like packing it up? How are you gonna?
We're packing because I'm hiring a moving service. So it took forever for me to get approved to rent a house. So I'm renting a house first while my other house get ready. And, you know, I'm just trying to get everything. I'm trying to get I'm trying to get like the vanity. Like I kind of picked out the kitchen. I bought all the kitchen appliances and I went all out because I figured as I work, you know, this house is going to be, nothing is forever to me until you die. So who knows where, you know, maybe I have the mood, you know, but right now I'm going to do what I fucking want to do to it. And so I go to hotels and I take pictures. Like at this hotel I'm in New York, they got the baddest cutout nook that I want to put in the wall. Since I got the house, I tore the house all the way down on the inside. And so one of my kids like to read her ass off.
It's just like Ashley on a Friday night. It's down to the studs.
God damn, Chris, you getting funny. What are we going to do?
Down to the studs. That's the name of this episode.
Just tore all the way down to the studs.
That was a good one, Chris. Down to the studs.
I don't even know what studs really means in this context, but it seemed funny.
Down to the studs, he's right. It just, nothing is down but the fucking studs. Ashley and her friends is hanging out.
So you haven't like designed the inside yet. You're kind of like going through an inspirational project and that like, will you?
I hired an architect.
Oh, so you got an architect. Okay.
Architect, a civil engineer and a surveyor. I didn't really, this architect.
I thought that's a lot of, a lot of blueprints.
Well, I didn't realize how expensive an architect was.
Oh yeah. They make hella good money.
And so this little black girl shows up and it's somebody, she can't highly recommend it. And I said, I want to do this. And she's fucking detailed. Like she kind of keep me in line. She said, look here, bitch, I need you to be in reality. Do you have this money in the bank? I'm like, yeah, bitch, I got to motherfucking my wool. I need to go to work.
Perfect.
But she was, I got the first set and she was, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. But I didn't realize how expensive architect was. I didn't know what the fuck a civil engineer was. And I didn't know how important it was to get a land surveyor.
So what is the difference between them?
The architect draws the home. The structure engineer tells you, at my old house, the house that I bought, it was 3,500 square feet. But we're bumping it out a good bit. So they tell you what you got to do to that old house to hold that, what you going, because I'm going up a level to hold that new up part and how what you need to do, the foundation, how thick it needs to be, and for it to back up. So it's their job to tell you, bitch, this house will not fall.
Right, right.
Because if you don't do it right, if you don't put enough or whatever, the fucking house will fall there and kill everybody.
And then the survey, like, they do
the survey and land is. So I have a creek in the back. And so they have to tell you, like they say, every 100 years, that creek could flood so far up your backyard. But it haven't flooded in over 100 years. So they have to keep you out of what part of the land that you cannot build on. So close to the creek.
Right.
But, you know, I got quite a bit of land. But they tells you where the power line is, where the gas line to keep you from blowing the motherfucking neighborhood up. So, and to tell you which
811 before you dig.
Huh? Yeah. 411.
811 before you dig. The goddamn commercial they play every fucking time on the radio.
Mole.
Yeah, so they tells you everything because the house, I also have a basement. And so, like, I'm the house was built in the 60s or some 70. And I'm digging out the other side with dirt. So they tell you how to jack the house up to remove all the dirt, all of that shit, which I thought, oh, I'm just going to throw up a wall. It's like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
And when she told me the price, my fucking knees started knocking. I'm like, before I even get started?
Just for some pictures?
Now I see why you at Lowe's.
Yeah.
you gotta be, because you know, like, I can't get no bootleg architect, but I can go in and dig through this shit and find me some good tile, lights.
What Six Skirts phone number? I bet I can.
A bootleg architect. won't be enough studs in there.
Yeah, right. Few cracks.
You get a bootleg architect, he might not be gay enough to keep your house up.
So I'm excited. So I want to do it with the fans next year. I promise you, I don't give a fuck what I'm doing. Next year, I'm going live and we're going to decorate this tree. And I want to hire a few fans to make a few things. I love my fans. So when I'm going to Disney, and you can ask the girl, I can't remember her name, but I know she listens to the podcast. She made all my bag tags for me. Because I feel like if you guys take the time to listen to this podcast and support me, then why shouldn't we support your small business? So if you make Reese, and I don't mean no motherfucking ghetto nigga Reese either. I mean fire ass Reese, like the white women who bake them motherfucking cakes but can't fry no chicken Reese. I need them types of Reese.
She's been in Plainfield too long. She's too far gone. She lived in the suburbs for 10 years. She's gone.
You know what? I can't name this website because I don't want to offend anybody. But they got all of these websites. I mean, Facebook page coming. Black Women Can Decorate. Black Women Outdoor. Black Women Is. You know, white women could never say white women can decorate because that shit would be racist. So they got all of these different little Facebook pages about decorating. I ain't going to lie, y'all. I was telling my friend, I shouldn't say this out loud. I said, some of them black ones, they need to go over there and join them white girl sites. Them white girls be killing their asses.
Find a few Instagram influencers.
Oh, my God. Me, and then they be edging. Ooh, girl, that shit look good. No, bitch, the rug ain't big enough. Go to the white girl site. Go see what Susan doing. Susan over here killing it with the eggshells. I mean, with them seashells.
Mackenzie sells seashells by the seashore.
You know, white women love they love those seashell decorations. Some of them, like them beaches look, but they be killing that shit on there.
Fig trees. I should have bought stock in fig trees.
No, this year, last year, and this year was very popular to decorate with cotton. I couldn't get with it.
Generational trauma prevents me from decorating.
Plus, she's down in the South, Chris. You know they'd have been looking at her funny. I thought she was a sophisticated African American. Apparently, she's just a regular cotton picking nigga.
The first job I had in radio, the radio show host was black, and I was his producer, and he'd always make me come over on air and pick the cotton out of his Tylenol for him. Abdul.
Pottery Barn, all of them. It was very popular last year and this year, I think, to decorate with cotton. And I wanted to get with the cotton, but I felt bad if I bought the cotton. But you would see the white women in there.
Why?
You know, not knowing how cotton affects. Because, you know, shit is so, help me out here, Dion, where it goes back to, you know, slavery.
It's ingrained.
That shit come through everybody. Every time we create a baby, all of that stuff still within us somehow.
Gotcha.
You know, we don't fuck with water. We don't fuck with cotton. There's just shit we don't do. And I would feel like I sold out my people if I sit here and make a cotton reef.
Harriet
Tubman just be looking over
the multi-millions of dollars you're making. Trust me.
I ain't making that much, but I can't. You can't come in my house and I just got a jar full of cotton. Everybody like, nigga, is you fucking crazy? What the fuck you doing with cotton? Oh, you can buy your cotton now, huh, bitch?
I guess I get, like, if you're, I was thinking cotton balls, but yeah, like, where they have the cotton ball in the plant, in the jar.
Yes.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah.
I couldn't do it. Cracker Barrel got it. They got a shit ton of cotton.
They do?
Of course they do. Flour. It's fucking Cracker Barrel. Of course they do.
Fuck you guys. I love you, but Cracker Barrel's delicious. You were going to Cracker Barrel someday. You and me, Miss Pat.
I've been to Cracker Barrel. It ain't delicious. It's something when you're hungry. If you think that's, I got to take you to this place in Atlanta called Eddie Laura's. And they don't let you in right now because of COVID, but the line be so motherfucking long. Like a custard line. When I tell you those turkey legs as big as your motherfucking back, Chris. Mm. Nick, you can fuck her. You can lay your girlfriend, your wife to be on a turkey leg and fuck her and still have room for your stepchild to lay down.
like at the state fair? Those giant ass turkey legs?
And then they have that motherfucking gravy across the top. Oh my God, you be sitting there like, I'm gonna fuck this up. I'm gonna be so fat, my heart gonna stop, but I don't give a fuck.
I'm ready.
You ate that with me, then you did?
No. We never. I know about
you. Oh, it's right by my rental house in Riverdale. It is fucking delicious.
So, why did you have a. I mean, it took us 3 months to find the place that we just started renting. I mean, how did you have a hard time finding a rental place? What was it? Just there wasn't one that was out there?
Well, the thing is that. Fraud is so big in Atlanta where people play like they rent you house that they don't own. Mm. And it's so easy to make a check stub. So the lady, when they verify my income and they see my ID and they said, nigga don't equals money. So nobody's going to say anything?
We was going to let you keep talking.
I just thought that was a fact, but it wasn't a joke that you were telling the truth.
God damn it, Chris. Don't get yourself canceled so close to Christmas.
I mean, I read books about redlining. I'm not. No, I mean, and if you don't have, like, that's, I love my day job, but if I wanted to buy a house, I'd have to keep my day job. Because if you're a 1099 person, it's hard to get, like, when we were looking for rentals, they just want to see your tax returns to see your W-2. They don't want to see your 1099 income.
They asked me for, which is 1099, and I have some W-2s too. But so I showed them my, I put down what I made. I sent in my ID. And so they sent it back and they said, well, the owner would like to know, are you going to be making this money all the time? I'm like, yeah, bitch. And so then they come back and say, well, the owner would like to know, can they see a deposit from your bank showing that this money goes in there, direct deposit? And I said, hold on, bitch, who are you? Let me pick up this phone, because you might be a forger. So I called, I said, are you real? I said, because I don't want to be sending my motherfucking shit, and you ain't motherfucking real. So I was waiting on him to say you can adapt or redact or whatever the fuck it means when you cross out your bank account numbers and shit, whatever that word is. So when she said that, I said, okay, she might be a little smart, you know. So I went to the bank, and I had all that done, and the next day I got approved. But it took forever, and I went for another house. And I fucked around and told the man, I said, hey, my house is being redone, so it's just a year lease. And he didn't go with me. It was a real pretty house. So, but I did end up getting some in the same area. I wanted to switch the kids' school. So, but
it's impossible right now. Like, you have to, if you wanted a regular apartment, if you can find one, it's, you got to show 3x earnings. The apartment that I'm moving out of basically tomorrow, I'm paying $800. When I move out, they're going to put down some crappy vinyl and charge $1,600. Like, I don't know how anybody can afford renting that. So they just forge it. And then you can't kick people out because of the CDC moratorium. So people just sold houses. So inventory is low. It's like you have to show your bank account, your tax statements, your income statements, your W-2. It's like, why am I giving you all this? It's crazy right now.
In New York, they told me last night, I was telling them about what I had to go through the rental place, and they said you had to show 40 times the amount of your rent.
I heard of one place in Broad Ripple wanted a 12-month deposit. You had to pay $22,000 down in escrow to get a rental place in Broad Ripple, which is like a college area of town, We had to pay three months rent on this. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I think it's because people.
Joe Biden's America.
Joe Biden ain't got a motherfucking thing to do with this.
How much of them heated storage units?
Yeah, right.
This motherfucker here.
I give me a hot plate and a flashlight. You live in ghetto fabulous.
But yeah, it costs so fucking much. It's I didn't even do that. Like, I have a home that I rent in Atlanta, and they've been there for like 10 years, y'all. And I people are like, you should go up on the rent. And I ain't even gonna lie. The rent was less. It's a 3,500, it's a 4,000 to, I think it's a 3,500 square foot house, four bedroom. You see my rental house in Atlanta. Mm. I mean, I'm the best landlord because, bitch, I'm gonna clean your yard three times a year the way I want it clean. I'm gonna make sure I pressure wash my house twice a year. I take care of my house. And I wasn't even getting $900 for the house. Mm. And people was like, why the fuck you wasn't going to rent? I said, because they take care of the home, you know, and it's not that many people in the house. And he's like, go up on the fucking rent. And I finally went up on the rent after almost 10 years of them being there.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you're so far below market value at $900. I mean, it's crazy. And it's like, and if you find a good tenant, you want to keep them, because I had multiple friends who had bought houses in Plainfield. They rented it out now. People trashed it, couldn't kick them out for 9 months. And so they sold the house. It's like, if you find good tenants, you want to keep them.
But yeah, and they are finding good them tenant. Is hard. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm leaving them alone. You know, I get enough to pay my mortgage. But then I was like, you know what? When I started looking at houses, I was like, y'all getting $2,000 and $3,000 in this area? Oh, hell no. So I went up on it, and they didn't even fight it. I was like, you mean to tell me I could have went up on y'all nigga rent 5 years ago?
Well, they know it's a great deal. And you can't, a 3,500 square foot house for.
Shit, I'd have kept my mouth shut too. I wouldn't have said a motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
It was less than $900. Closer to $800.
Hopefully they, you know, saved up enough money to where they can afford the new increase and not struggle.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I keep that house because when I was on Section 8, I don't know if I ever told you guys this story. I used to rent that house from a white lady named Miss Gerda Bowens. She probably passed away. Now, I used to stay in touch with her. Her phone got cut off, so I assumed she died. And I used to, when I went to go buy that house when I was on Section 8, they took to my Section 8 certificate. This lady liked me so much for taking care of her house. When I went to go buy it, she had saved $50 a month. I had been there like 8 years from all of my rent to pay the down payment on that house. That's what she gave me. And I didn't have the credit at the time. She owned a finance for me for 2 years. And so when she got a little older, she said, after her husband died, she said, Pat, I own a finance this house, but I really need you to get your credit together so you can buy this house, because I don't want to die and you be at war with my kids.
Yeah.
I hurry up and got my motherfucking shit get together and refinance that motherfucking house. But I will never forget what that lady did. That's how I became a homeowner. And that's why I won't sell that house, because it's so sentimental to me.
Yeah.
And I know what this lady did for me to become a homeowner. And I always wanted to. I set a goal. I said, I'm going to buy me a house before I'm 25. I lied on Section 8 and they took my motherfucking Section 8 certificate, and she helped me become a homeowner.
Fraud, the American dream.
I didn't fraud.
I just said you lied on your application.
I lied and told, I didn't tell them I was working at General Motors. And I didn't know that the government had started to hook up with the housing authority and the welfare office. They could tell when you working. So they said, hey, Patricia, that we got here, you work at General Motors and you making $20-something. I was like, huh? How you know? And so the first time I did it, they made me pay like $7,000 back.
Damn.
You want to hear something crazy? I didn't have $7,000. I called her and said, they're going to take my certificate because I work. And I didn't report it like a fucking idiot. And the lady gave me $7,000 to pay back housing authority.
What a nice lady.
Yeah. And then I paid her back. And then I did the shit again. And the lady at the office didn't like me. And she took the certificate.
Ah, So it wasn't Section 8 anymore, but you still had the Section house? Eight?
It wasn't Section 8. The lady ended up helping me buy the house.
Okay.
And I just said, you know.
So I'm confused. So what certificate did they take from you?
So it's called Section 8 certificate. Okay. They give you, when I got custody of my sister's kids, they didn't give me shit. They gave me $300 in welfare and said, here goes Section 8 certificate. Go find you and all these fucking kids a place to live. So I rented this lady house named Miss Girl Bones. I had eight kids. So I went six kids at the time. Ended up having two more before I even got off fucking Section 8. And so when I lied, my Section 8 certificate, when you lied to the government, to the housing authority, they can take your fucking free housing. Because they was paying $1,400 a month rent for me. I ain't had to pay shit. And it was paying my utility. So I go out and do the niggery shit. And I go get a job at General Motors and then report it. So then they said, you're going to get one more chance. Give us $7,000 back because that's what you should have paid in rent. I didn't have the $7,000. So the lady who owned the house gave me the $7,000 so I could not lose my certificate. Well, when this job came around, because of the season of job, when it came back around again, I got that same nigga mentality, or ghetto mentality. I worked and didn't tell them. So she said, we're taking your certificate because it's the second time you did it. So I'm crying. I'm at the house. My husband said, stop fucking crying and go get a job. Because he know I was lazy. I didn't want to work. He said, go get a job. Maybe you'll get a job now knowing that you got to pay your full rent. So I tell her, because the lady was giving me $1,400 a month. So she can no longer get that. So she said, look, I like the way you take your house. I lower your rent to my mortgage, which was $600. So she was getting paid when I was fucking had Section 8. So at that time, she said, well, do you think you want to buy the house? And I was like, yeah, I do want to buy the house. So she, when it was time to close, she owned a finance and she gave me that money for a down payment. 2 years in, I don't remodel the house. I'm doing all this other shit. And she started to pick up for me. And, so she said, well, I'm on a financing with Pat. I'm old. My husband done died and I know I'm next. So I'm going to need you to get financing on your own. So I fixed my credit. And I got the house refinanced in my own name.
Nice. Well, that's cool. Yeah.
And that's how I became a homeowner.
What year was that? Like how old were you roughly?
Jumo was born in 86. I mean, Jumo was born in 2000. So the early 2000s.
Okay.
I bought the house. So that house means a lot to me because of what this lady did for me to become a homeowner.
Yeah. I need to meet one of those ladies. That's nice. Where can I meet a girdle? I need to.
My name was Girder.
Oh.
she was very handy, like DIY. When I first met her, Girder, to me, that could be a man or a woman name. And I first met her, she looked like a man. And she's like a stud. And so I was like, yes, sir. And then she's like, this is my husband. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And I realized she had like small titties and she was an older white woman. So I realized she was a woman.
Everything about that was great.
But she was the sweetest little thing. She helped me. And, you know, she helped me. And when I became a homeowner and I had to rent my house out, I wanted to give back like she gave to me, because I believe in this country, each one teach one. As we go to make this country a better place, if I can help you, you can help the next person. If I can teach you, you can teach the next person. Well, I'm trying to do what she did. I rent my house on Section 8. The bitch stole all my pipes. I said, fuck these niggas. Fuck them. Fuck them.
Then you ended up on Judge Joe Brown talking about booty beads.
I ended up on, well, that too, not paying me my motherfucking rent. You know, because I was just thinking the other day, like the rapper Young Dolph that got killed.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that because you were in his video.
I was in his video called Smoke Something. I can't even think of the name of the fucking video, but it was a Harlem Night Things. And you know when rappers get killed, I really don't think about, I mean, you usually don't know the rappers who get killed and then the album go platinum. Or you're not familiar with them. At least I wasn't. When this kid got killed, that shit hit home. I could not fucking sleep. He was the nicest fucking person. I mean, you know, he didn't have that unfamous demeanor. When I worked with him, he was like really fucking, He was a sweet kid. I didn't even realize he was 36 years old either. So I had never heard of Young Dolph when I got called for the thing. My friend shoot videos called Video Gods. And I've been knowing him since I started comedy. Make a long story short, I said, who the fuck is a Young Dolph? So I said, I'll go ask my son. I said, Juma, you ever heard of somebody called Young Dolph? He said, what you know about Young Dolph? I said, they want me in this video. Oh, you gonna be a Young Dolph? I said, who the fuck is Young Dolph? Because, you know, that's what I thought he was, Young Dolph. And he said, Mama, it's Young Dolph. And so, you know, I go and I meet him and he's Snoop Dogg.
There'll never be a rapper named Young Dolph.
I thought it was Young Dolph.
I got the wettest beats in there.
And so, you know, when they gunned this kid down the other day, that shit, I could not fucking sleep. Oh, my. I was like, you know, we say, you know, Black Lives Matter only until the wrong color shoots us. We don't seem like it doesn't matter to amongst us. Oh, you kill a nigga, oh, we don't march. But if a white man kill, oh my God, you gotta march. And then you get out there, you know, the next day he was supposed to give out turkeys in his community. And I was telling Dion, and I was telling her, I said, you know what, a lot of time, we as Black people, we think we have to go back to the hood and give back. I want to say this. Fuck the hood. I ain't getting y'all niggas no turkeys, no dressing, no salad dressing, no potato salad. I'm not motherfucking coming back, okay? Because let me say this to you. You ain't never seen no white people out there giving no motherfucking turtle to no trailer parks, okay? So why we think we gotta go back? Nigga, fuck that shit. Y'all killed a nigga who had a truck full of turkeys the next day waiting on you, nigga. I ain't fucking with y'all. Fuck the turkeys, the dressing, the motherfucking cranberry sauce, whole or motherfucking gelatin style.
You literally just said, back. Eat one, teach one. We need to take care of our own, but fuck the hood is how man, that last that 5 minutes just went, Dion.
Chris, I told her the other day, I said, Pat, what the fuck are you talking about?
No.
You done confused the whole Black Lives Matter. The Black Lives Matter is about police killing people they ain't supposed to be killing. It ain't got nothing to do with niggas killing niggas or white
what
folks
is it? What is this shit we gonna name niggas killing niggas? Because the way they gun down that fucking daddy,
you that's called life. Out. It's the same thing when white people kill white people. They don't go out marching on that.
It's called in the drug
but if
war.
If a black dude killed a white dude on some racist shit, yeah, they would have the right to march. It's not about the actual killing. It's about the optics. It's about the job of police. So. You know, I
understand that. I'm saying to you, I mean, Black Lives does matter. But why do we sit here and do the shit that happened with this kid the other day? We got to stop this bullshit. And first, what I'm trying to say, if it looked like it doesn't matter to us, then why should it matter to other people? Because we cannot keep killing each other. Like they gun down this boy, they gun down Nipsey Hussle. And we get out here and say, oh, we make a record when we get really mad when somebody that don't look like us. That shit, let me tell you something, I don't ever cry on no rapper. That shit really bothered me that you would gun that man down like that over a beef or whatever the fuck was going on. And it's never touched me like that before. And I guess because I met this kid and I spent hours shooting this video with this kid, not really getting to know him because he was really a quiet person. But such a nice person, such a, you know, I don't know the whole detail of what fucking happened, but that rapper killing really bothered me. And I know it's not the same deal as police shooting. You know, police shouldn't be shooting us because we pay taxes to protect them. And most of that shit really is fucking racist. The shit with this fucking kid who just got off shooting in the street. But I'm saying, God damn.
Why is this? Go ahead, Dion.
I'm going to say, I agree with you. You can't stop nigga shit, basically. I mean, niggas is going nigga. That's and basically what we want is to stop people from doing nigga shit. And you could be a nigga of any color. Yes. Like, so I completely agree with you, Pat. I understand what you're saying. I just don't like when people conflate those two messages. It's like, it's not the same.
I'm not saying I'm not saying the march of Black Lives Matter, because I know what that's for. You know, you can't be out here killing us and you're supposed to be protecting the serve. It's not the fucking same. I'm just saying, like, we say Black Lives Matter, but then you look up and they're gunning this boy down like that. Why didn't his life matter? You know, police kill him. Another two other niggas who couldn't even hold a rifle right killed him.
What the fuck they were shooting? So it seems like every month there's a rapper getting killed. I mean, and I don't know Young Dolph other than the video that you were in. I don't know. For Nipsey Hussle was the first time I had heard of him. So like, I'm ignorant on
that. I've never heard of Nipsey Hussle before.
But like, is it that the music is about strength and, you know, kind of fighting with other people and beefing, and then that actually beefing. That like comes out? Because I know that somebody tried to shoot him in 2017 and it was Yo Gotti, and Young Dolph wouldn't say who did it, but they were, you know, so like what is going on with, like, is it just that people need to kind of stop supporting
beef.
That kind of
behavior? I don't know what it is, but I'm like, aren't y'all too old?
There's a code when you're in the street. There's a code. It's the street code. It's you don't snitch, you don't tell. If you are any part of illegal activity, if you're not a regular civilian, there's codes that you have to live by. And if you break those codes, then you face penalties. It's the same thing with anything else. It's kind of like a job, like where if you go in and you clock in and you don't do what you're supposed to do on the clock, then they're going to punish you for it. It's the same thing with the street game. As I've been watching a lot of interviews about it, because I knew you knew him and I didn't know that much about him. I'm not a big rap fan, but every interview I've heard where people are talking about why this shit keeps happening is code. Like, you can't snitch. You just got to eat it. And I understand that, but at the same time, it's just going to keep happening because there's no way to fix it. Like, there's no forgiveness. There's no, you killed my dude, and so now I have to retaliate. There's no, you killed my dude. It was fucked up. We need to stop this shit. So let him be the last one. There's never going to be that point where they're like, you know what? I can't go back and retaliate. Because in the street code, it makes you look like a bitch. And that's one of the one things you can't be. You can't be no bitch.
She told on everybody. He ran.
So is that part of why we need
exactly
to, is that part of the message of like fix policing, because then if that gets fixed, then there's less retaliation and vengeance and like regular people.
Policing is a completely totally different issue. Like, it's not their job to be judge, jury, and executioner. They know that, but they get away with it, and so they continue to do it. And until we hold them accountable for it. You can't hold thug niggas accountable if you're not a thug nigga. Like, there's nothing you can do. They're not going to listen to you. So right. It's within the people that are in that system. It's their job to reform it. Same thing with policing. We can all go march all we want to, but ain't shit going to change until the people who are actually doing the job change what's going on. That's why you see what happened with all them cop whistleblowers. They lose their job because the system don't want to change.
Yeah.
And when you start telling, yo, they get rid of you. It's the same thing with the streets.
Yeah, I read this book about how in prisons, there's no, like, prison guards don't really have control of the prison, so the prisoners take control, and, like, there's prisons in America that have constitutions amongst the gang members, and, like, have written codes, and basically that's why there's, you know, the rise of the white nationalists and the Latin gangs, and in through the 80s, as more people got in there, and the state couldn't control it, so people figure out their own code.
That's how it works.
Well, I didn't watch those interviews, but it was just, I just want everybody to know that really hurt me to see this young man lose his life. And I don't know the whole background of what was going on, beef or whatever, but I just know as a black mama, a black person, a black kid who was raised with no father, now these kids are fatherless. You know, I mean, is that, when do we stop? You know, when do, I want to reiterate before y'all get all in it. This rapper shooting and black among black shooting and killing is nothing like fucking, don't try to tie that Black Lives Matter to what I'm saying. You know, the police shit is totally fucking different. I'm just saying, I wish we would take a step back as black people and value each other lives like we say we do. But then you walk up and see two black men shoot the shit out of this guy who's going to get cookies, or the whole Nipsey Hussle thing. Of what? I mean, if ain't nobody beat your ass or killed nobody in your family, why is it that you got to fucking gun somebody down? What have I happened to fighting in the streets? It just don't happen anymore.
Part of it is the initiation rites that these people go through to get in gangs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, some gangs where you got to go and kill somebody to prove you down and to earn your stripes or whatever, which, I mean, again, we can't change that. There's nothing we, because we're not a part of that. There's, you know, until the leader of that gang says, you know, we're not going to do that no more, because it's, you know, one, it's fucking stupid. And two, it's just not worth it. There's nothing we can do. I mean, we can all sit up here and say that killing each other is wrong. We all know that, but it's
for
still going to happen.
In any race, in any color, you know, I say that to say that it just really fucking hurt me, you know. That one got to me the other day. Seeing this kid, you know, first of all, I thought the boy was in his 20s. That's 36 years old. I'm like, damn, boy, I thought you was 20-something years old. Just to see that, you know, and to know that, I can imagine what, you know, his wife had to go through. And then, you know, I saw a post of her the other day. She's like, how do I tell my kids that their daddy's not coming home? Yeah. You got to eventually tell him, because he's never going to walk through the door again. And, you know, the same thing with Nipsey and his kids and so many other ones. And it just, that, for some reason, that made me pay attention to all the rapper killers. I mean, like, it's like the kid who broke in, what's that rapper name who got killed for the watch?
There's been so many.
Yeah.
Not killed for the watch. Pop Smoke. They found out his killer was 15 years old. And the boy, they asked him why he do it. And correct me if I'm wrong. And I think he said he saw a watch that Pop Smoke put on Instagram. And he wanted to get it. And then he went and killed him. And I think I heard he sold it for $2,000. You literally took this man's life for $2,000 when you could have probably asked him. Or you just probably, I don't think he would have gave you $2,000, but it was a whole life that you cannot get back. And there your life is ruined. I just don't.
It's the mentality. You got to reach them young. You got to reach them. Like, a lot of young kids listen to that music and they don't understand that it's entertainment. They really don't understand that all these dudes out here talking about they doing this and that in the music industry aren't really doing it. They know somebody who's done it. They did it a long time ago and now they're talking about it. But as a young person, people don't perceive that. They think it's real. They literally think it's real. And if you don't have anybody to sit down and talk to you and go, look, man, this is all entertainment. I'm not really living this way. You know, I don't really think this way. I'm just making music.
It was like the one I
had no situations.
I'm sorry about the fire trucks. I'm in New York, so she was always on something. But I remember watching an ID thing, and it was a couple years ago, and a black kid who wanted to be a rapper, but his mama was hardworking. And he wanted to be a rapper so bad that he knew his mama had like $100,000 in the bank, say. He killed her. Do y'all remember that one? He killed his mama. And started flaunting her money on fucking Instagram or social media, whatever. Yeah. Literally because he wanted to be. It's like I look at social media a lot. And I don't put my business out there because I feel like I give you as much as I can of me. But at some point, I have to stay private because I have a husband. I have kids. I'm not the type of person. I'm not going to show you everything that I do. First of all, I don't have the time. I'm not going to put on a wig. And I don't want you my motherfucking bed. I love you to death, but I'm not just going to do that. And I see people all the time, everything they do. And I'm like, you asking to be knocked across the head. You asking to be, you know, you asking for all of this bullshit to happen to you because you don't know who out there with an eye who ready to take what you got.
And that's the world we live in, unfortunately. That's never going to change.
Make that bitch gag. And I was just telling you the other day, I said, I don't want to make no bitch gag. Because when a bitch gag and throw up her food, she going to come get your food out your stomach. So I don't want you bitches gagging.
What?
I don't mind a gag.
A good gag's not that bad.
Fucking bitches.
Gurgle, gurgle.
I mean, that I'm just, you know, and people are like, oh, you're so paranoid. No, I'm just careful. And I'm just, I'm an ex-drug dealer, so I got that mentality. So even though I don't sell drugs no more, but everybody else on the outside is the police, and I don't need them to know what I'm doing because they'll come get me and lock me up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The internet has made it so much easier to stunt, you know, but everybody don't have what you have. And so when you're showing it off, there are going to be people out there that want to come and take it. I mean, that's just the nature of the world we live in.
You can't show poor motherfuckers everything you got because, oh, well, I want that too. Because they don't know. They don't know if it's real or fake. So I just decided, hey, I'm going to just be, oh, I ain't got shit. Hey, y'all, I'm up at Lowe's and we can all afford that shit. Come dig in a box with me. Okay? Come dig in a box with me. You know I'm a coupon cutting motherfucker. You take my purse, and you gonna be so mad out of goddamn paper in my purse?
It's way too much paper, Chris. Way
too much. I've seen the purse.
And not the kind you want.
Yeah.
She be had like $3 in a purse with $900 worth of receipts and
women love receipts.
Yeah, he makes CBS jealous.
Right.
So, you know, I just want everybody to go check out the video. It's let me see. What's the name of that video, Chris?
I'll put the link to it in the show notes. I don't know the name of the song, sure, but.
I think I can fly. I believe I can fly.
That was
the name of the song. But y'all go check it out because, that really bothered me to see that young man lose his life over some, you know, dumb shit like that. But, you know. I just really wish, you know, things could get better.
I mean, you made a good point that he was helping the community and then they gunned him down.
Yep.
At some point, it's got to stop. At some point.
Yeah, it does. Some point, it has to stop.
Well, you've been a good example for people and a good role model. You know, you can... like you said, you know, people helped you along the way because people in your community saw you and said, this person needs help, you know, and you took advantage of that in positive ways, you know, and that's powerful. I think that's part of the charm. And
you know what I think it is a lot of people don't want to do the work that they have to do after they get the help.
Yeah.
You know, some people just want the help and then they figure I don't have to do anything because somebody else helped me out. Like, you have to continue to work even after you get the help.
You have to be uncomfortable in a lot of ways. Like, you look at Miss Pat's life, going to the Christmas party, being the only black person in a corporate environment, that had to be uncomfortable for her. Like, I mean,
The Christmas party
where you got the, you know, but like as going, I've watched you be uncomfortable going into Hollywood and working with people that you don't necessarily like or that you don't think have your best interests. Like, that's uncomfortable. Like, you could have stayed where you were, but people like Garrett and the landlord, like you were willing to be uncomfortable. It's the reverse of a lot of what we've talked about. Like, I'm not saying, oh, you need to climb into white culture. I'm saying you need to climb into places where if you live one way, and it may be uncomfortable, but you've got to take that chance.
And it'll teach you a lot, too, about other people. Why this person think that way, or why this person is the way they are, and, you know, just about what they like in general. You know, like, I damn near read every message you guys send me, especially when I'm on a plane. And I can't play no videos, or I can't look at no fucking house shit. I go and try to answer messages. So, you know, I think that's what makes us grow as a society, when you allow yourself to be uncomfortable.
You went from making so much money as a drug dealer to making very little money going straight. Like, that couldn't have been easy.
No, that was very uncomfortable, and it was something, but it was something that that was a sacrifice I was willing to take for my kids, because I didn't want to be killed. I didn't want to be back in jail. And, you know, I said, well, okay, I give this a try. It's nothing wrong with trying it at least once. You know, build a relationship with somebody that, I always tell people, always build a relationship with somebody that don't have anything in common with you or that don't look like you. Literally, I would get on the elevator and I would speak to me, how you doing today? I said, I'm talking to you. How you doing? Oh my God, you spoke? Yeah, motherfucker, I spoke. Because I think if we speak to each other, it makes the world or that person feel a little bit better that day.
Yeah.
So I always start a conversation on the elevator. Because, you know, I don't know if that person talked to people that look like me or not, but I always try to, hey, I want to brighten your day. So how you doing today? My panty line is stuck to my back. But other than that, I think it's going to be a good fucking day. They're like, what the fuck did she just say?
Oh, my day's so much brighter knowing about your pussy.
Panty liner up your back. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I just think as a society, as people, we should allow ourselves to be uncomfortable with conversations, situations. So it'll help us all grow. And it, you know, it has helped me grow so much because I was a black kid that was taught that white people was evil. I was taught that by my black mama. So when I moved to Indianapolis, Dion could be a witness of it. I was scared of white people and I was in my
30s. Yeah. You are one of those people though that likes to grow. You know, not everybody has that same
just
mentality.
Not in the ass. I don't like to grow in the ass and the waist. But yeah, finish. Go away, gay.
Chris, I got nothing for that. That's all you.
Ew.
Ew. I mean, I don't want to get fatter, but I do want to grow, you know, and I just want the world to be a better place, you know. Yeah, and I love when people call in and they say things to Chris, like, oh my God, you this podcast has opened my eyes so much. And, you know, I'm learning about different things and, you know, just come into our world for a minute.
I just always feel appreciated when listeners write in and call me the N-word. It just makes me feel so appreciated and loved.
He still won't say the N-word. But
hell no. No way.
I appreciate that. But, you know, I just try to spread a little bit more love. If you got a coworker at work that you know they don't have shit in common, start speaking to that person. See if you can build a relationship. See if you can listen to them. I mean, you'd be surprised if you build a relationship and y'all can change each other's minds towards each other. Because you think one way about a certain people, and it's not really what you think. It's just what you was taught. Because you cannot clump all people together. Trump, Chris, I would never clump you with Trump.
Thank
or the white nationals. I would never. You are a good old sophisticated crap.
Well spoken, clean, articulate. Yeah, I think I was a loser in my mid-20s big time. And, you know, one of the ways that I worked, it's just as simple as like asking somebody how your day's going and mean it. And if they ask you how you're doing, tell the truth. Don't good, fine, okay. I mean, don't have like conversations all day at the, you know, the grocery line, but like just start there. Like, no, like really, how are you doing? Like everything okay? What, you know, instead of asking, what do you do? Ask, what do you enjoy doing? What do you like? Like just these little like changes.
Hope
I think
you have a great day.
Yeah. That, you know, that can just make shining. All the difference.
You can't, you just don't know what people are going through in this world.
Yeah.
You could fucking stop a shooting or some shit. Speak. People always shout like, oh my God, you spoke to me? Aren't you on the elevator with me? It's just me and you. You got on your mask and I don't. But I truly believe that I want you to be happy today.
She don't wear her mask, motherfucking nowhere.
That's why we got vaccinated. That's, you just don't, enough with the masks already. Time to move on. Ridiculous. Enough.
You can't be showing that. They're not sponsoring us.
Airborne superior vitamin C and immune support, which works well, is not sponsoring with this podcast. She takes the shit out of it. They should, though. She eats the shit out of that.
I eat it like gummies.
Yeah.
I eat them all day. And I can tell when I can't get into this motherfucker. Who the fuck put this on? The Klansman?
The Klansman. They thwarted her, Dion.
We want to thank y'all for tuning in. We really love you guys. I'm going to the Soul Train Music Award. I know when you hear this, I've already be done went, but I can't wait to tell y'all all about this shit next week, next podcast. I'm wearing heels tonight with some extra cushion in the bottom. And as soon as I sit there and them lights go on, sneak out that motherfucking go home and go to sleep.
All right, well, don't put your ass on a white man's face.
I promise you I won't. Just show us. All right.
You know, good hell, well, all that ass is going to be in some white person's face.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Pat Down. Make sure you check out my website at MissPatComedy.com for all of my social media, my tour dates, my book. Make sure you spread the word about my podcast. Please rate and review. Please rate and review and share. Thank y'all so much, y'all. I've been Miss Pat.